Engaging, timeless, and thought-provoking. The Quran itself refers to Surah Yusuf as the best of stories. Lessons for the young and old, warnings for the oppressor and tyrant, and hope for the broken and abandoned. The tafsir of Surah Yusuf with Maulana Sulaiman Rawat, only on Sabah Al Muslim.
So we are busy discussing verse 54. This is where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ أُتُونِي بِهِ أَسْتَخْلِصْهُ لِنَفْسِي. The king said, bring him before me, I will take him for my special service. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was about to depart the prison, now his name was cleared, everything was good, now he could leave the prison. He took a bath, he wore clean clothes, he made dua for the inmates of the prison. Again, look at the character, look at the concern for the inmates of the prison. You and I, if we are being told now that you're leaving prison, hey, we would dash for the door. We would say, you know, let me move. I've been here far too long. I'm innocent. He acted in a calm way, in a dignified way. He never forgot his concern for these people in the prison as well. He made dua for them, and then he left. Now, when he came into the court of the king, he made dua again. He made dua in Hebrew, and he greeted in Arabic. And I explained in our last discussion that he spoke to the king in multiple languages, and the king was able to respond to him in multiple languages. But Arabic and Hebrew, the king did not know. So he now introduced these two new languages to the king, and the king was appreciative of it. He then gave the king personally an interpretation of the dream. The king already heard it from the cupbearer, but he gave him a personal interpretation. He explained to him what needed to be done in more detail. He told him, right, in the 7 years of prosperity, you should incentivize the farmers so they should plant more and harvest more so that you have more for the 7 lineages. Then, to the total surprise and perhaps even shock of the king, he told him certain parts of the dream which the king did not narrate when he mentioned his dream. When the king spoke about his dream, he didn't give all the details. Some of the details he kept to himself. Yusuf alayhi salam informed him about those details, and that really impressed the king, because that was now nubuwa. It was coming from Allah. فَلَمَّا كَلَّمَهُ. Then when he conversed with him, قَالَ إِنَّكَ الْيَوْمَ لَدَيْنَا مَكِينٌ أَمِينٌ. The king said, surely from today you have acquired a high rank with us. You are entrusted. You're going to be part of my inner circle. Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahullah says that Shah Sahib said, the king cancelled his relationship with the Aziz and appointed Yusuf alayhi salam in his place. Others say it's not specified what position the king wanted to give him. But then Yusuf alayhi salam told him, قَالَ جَعَلْنِي عَلَىٰ خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ. Yusuf alayhi salam told him, place me in charge of the treasures of the land. Place me in charge of the treasures of the land. Make me the minister of finance. إِنِّي حَفِيظٌ عَلِيمٌ. I am observant and I possess knowledge. I am trustworthy and I am knowledgeable. I have these two qualities. So Yusuf alayhi salam personally requested this job, and he undertook the responsibility of managing the finances properly during the 7 years of prosperity, and then after that during the 7 lean years of drought. So the first lesson that Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahullah mentions here is that it is not beneath even a prophet to get involved in matters of money, to get involved in material, worldly matters, if it's for the benefit of mankind. So no one can consider himself too knowledgeable or too pious to get involved in monetary affairs if it's going to benefit the masses. Here, for the benefit not of himself, but for the benefit of that nation, Yusuf alayhi salam did not want it to fall into the wrong hands. If somebody mismanaged it, or if somebody was not honest, for 7 years people would suffer whilst there is drought. So it's not beneath a knowledgeable person, a pious person, to get involved in worldly matters if it's going to benefit the community, the ummah, you know, humanity. The second thing here is that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam expressed his desire. I want to be your finance minister. Now here the scholars write that generally speaking, like there's a hadith of Abdullah ibn Samurah radiallahu anh, that if a person demands leadership for himself, then the weight of this responsibility is placed on his shoulders, and he does not receive divine help. Meaning, that if you go and seek position, seek kursi, as we would say, for the purposes of love, of money, of fame, of self-aggrandizement, then Allah won't help you. You'll have to bear the burden of it, and you'll most likely fail, and Allah won't help you because your intention was not sincere. But it does not apply to those people whose intentions are sincere. If they feel that they are the most qualified for a particular task, and they genuinely and sincerely, not that the ego is telling you this, they genuinely and sincerely know that they are the best qualified, and if anybody else were to do it, they won't be able to do it as well, then there's absolutely no harm in putting your name forward and saying, I want the position, and also mentioning your attributes and your qualities, that inni hafidhun alim, that I am possessing knowledge and I'm observant. You see, there are general rules and then there are exceptions. I mean, you don't praise yourself, but if you're going for a job interview, you can't be humbly there. You can't be humble and say, oh, I'm not so good, others are better than me, but you won't get the job. You can't lie. Of course, you cannot lie. But at the same time, you can mention genuinely without exaggeration what are your qualities and what are your achievements. So that is what comes to the point for you in terms of some of the points that the Mufassirin have mentioned. We'll unpack it a little bit more tomorrow, inshallah. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us the understanding.